week to take a vacation. And the thought that we're going to work with is there is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid about. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid about. There's nothing to be afraid of. 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 There's nothing to be afraid about. 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 There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid about. 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 There's nothing to worry 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 about. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Simply states a fact. But there's nothing to be afraid of isn't a fact to those who believe in their fears. That there's nothing to be afraid of doesn't seem to be true to somebody that's afraid. To be told that there's nothing to be afraid of doesn't seem like it's true to somebody who feels afraid. But in truth, there really is nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of in truth. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to be afraid of. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to be afraid of. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to worry about. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to worry about. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to fear. But it's very hard to recognize that there's nothing to fear for somebody that wants it to be true. It's very hard to recognize that there's nothing to be afraid of for somebody who wants to believe that their fears are true. It's very difficult to recognize that there's nothing to be afraid of if you want your illusions to be true. So we're going to have very short practice periods, very simple, very frequent during this meditation. We're just going to repeat this idea as often as possible. You can use this idea with your eyes open in any situation, or you can use this idea with your eyes closed in any situation. But whenever you can, especially if you're concerned about something, just take a minute, close your eyes, and repeat to yourself slowly a few times, there's nothing for me to be afraid of. There's nothing for me to be afraid of. There's nothing for me to be afraid of. There's nothing for me to be afraid about. 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 There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. It's particularly important that you say there's nothing to fear immediately should anything disturb your peace of mind. So if something is disturbing your peace, immediately tell yourself, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to fear. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're not trusting in the strength of your Creator. The presence of fear is a sure sign you're trusting in your own strength. If you have the awareness, if you're aware that there's nothing to be afraid of, if you feel aware that there's nothing to be afraid of, then that shows that somewhere in your mind, though not necessarily in the place you recognize yet, you have remembered the truth. You have remembered God. Wherever you feel like there's nothing to fear, you have remembered the truth. Wherever in your life that you feel safe, that's where you remember the truth. Wherever you feel safe, with whoever you feel safe with, that's where you're remembering God. That's where you're remembering the truth. That's where you're letting the strength of God take the place of your weakness. Wherever you don't have any fear, that's where you're letting the strength of love take the place of your weakness. That's where you're letting God take over. It's where you have no fear. The instant you're willing to do this, remember the truth, and let it take the place of your weakness. As soon as you're ready to do that, there is indeed nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to fear. 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 There is nothing to be afraid of. There's 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 nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. Yes, it is. No, it's not. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. Yes, it is. There is nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. I don't believe that. There's nothing to be afraid of. 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 There's nothing to be afraid about. There is nothing to be afraid about. Sometimes a course can sound like the biggest crock you ever want to read. There's nothing to be afraid of. At the very least, we got the West Nile virus.
Well, now the flu.
And the flu, don't forget that. Don't forget about the avian flu.
Yeah.
What else? Who else got another fear? What else we got to be? The global warming. Car accidents. That's terrorists. Yeah. What else we got to be afraid of?
Broncos.
The Broncos. The Broncos not winning.
They scare the hell out of you.
That's right. That's right. So it means you're trusting in your own strength with the Broncos.
Collection agency.
Yeah, that's. Ooh. Thank God for call ID. Best invention they ever made, wasn't it? So 800 number. Nah, ain't answering that. I'm gonna do something from chapter 28, The Undoing of Fear. Page 589, back in the back of the book. Now, to make this make a lot of sense to you, I'm going to give you the Course in Miracles definition of a miracle. The Course in Miracles definition of a miracle is a correct perception, a correct interpretation. So the Course says, if we have a correct perception, it's a miracle. If we have a correct perception, it's a miracle. So where it says the miracle, I'm going to say the correct interpretation, either I'm going to say the correct perception, which is what the Course defines it as. There are a couple of extra books over here. The correct perception does nothing. Having a correct perception does nothing. All that having a correct perception does is to undo. And so, a correct perception cancels out the interference to what's been done. So, what's been done is that we have been given everything. What a correct perception does is it cancels out the interference that keeps you from realizing you have everything. So a correct perception cancels out the incorrect perception. It doesn't do anything. It's more like it erases. And it doesn't add anything. Having a correct perception doesn't add anything. It just takes away the problem, the fear. And what, this is the deep part, it says, and what the correct perception takes away is long since gone. But being kept in memory appears to have immediate effects. What happened to you when you were a child is long since gone. But you're keeping it in your memory, so it seems to still hurt you right now. Like whatever happened to you yesterday is gone. But you're still thinking about it, so it appears to make you feel bad now. It gives you an immediate effect right now. But the immediate effect of the way we feel right now is really coming from keeping something in our memory that's already over.
Yeah. Wow.
Now this next sentence is what I call one of those Coarse Lulu sentences. This world was over long ago. That deep.
Yeah.
This world was, that's what I like about this book, whether you believe it or not, at least you hear something different. So the Course defines the world as your false perception. So when the Course is talking about the world, it's talking about your perception, because your perception is your world. Your world is the way you see things. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So when the Course says world, it's actually talking about perception. That's really important to remember, or you'll freak out at the stuff it says about the world. So that's the same as saying your false perception was over a long time ago. It's like somebody telling you, you accomplished your goal and you were really healed a long time ago. Your false perception was corrected a long time ago. What does that mean? Well, that means that thoughts, your thoughts that made it, are no longer in the mind that thought of them and loved them for a little while. So the Course in Miracles is just showing you that the past is gone. The only thing this book is trying to show us is that what is gone isn't here. That's all this book trying to teach us, is that what's over isn't here, and what's here is everything. And what is truly gone has no effects. So just because you are remembering a cause, it can produce illusions of the present, but not the effect of the present. Just because I'm remembering what I think somebody did to me in the past, it can give me the false feeling that it's happening right now, but it really can't affect what's really happening right now, because it's already gone. So all the things that we're afraid are going to happen to us is based on something that happened in the past. Well, if it's in the past, it's gone. And so we are making ourselves feel the pain and the fear and the upset by just remembering what's already gone, which is keeping us from enjoying what's happening now.
Wow.
Okay. Any thoughts, any questions about that paragraph? What did it say?
We are so handicapped.
What did it say? Okay. What did it say? What did
There's
it say?
Nothing to fear.
What's gone?
The past is gone.
Thinking of right now.
Okay. So why are we not feeling bliss right now? According to what we just heard.
Because we don't believe in our past.
Because we what?
We have faith in our past. We believe in our past. We brought it to our present and we're focusing.
Okay, so everybody that's sitting up here now thinking about something of the past or something of the future, raise a hand. Okay, all the people in here now that don't feel ecstatic bliss on every level, raise your hand. Okay, so there seems to be a correspondence between all of us thinking about the past and future and none of us having the complete bliss that we think we deserve right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that, don't analyze that. Don't analyze that. Okay. What was the good thing that we heard in this paragraph? Who could tell me something that was really cool that they heard in this paragraph?
This world was gone. It was over a long time.
This world was over a long time ago. That's good news. That's good news. Okay, anybody else here? Anybody else got a sentence they want to share? Something, a thought in that paragraph that they kind of like that idea?
Mm-hmm. It does not add. It never takes away.
Yeah, the fact that the correction is taking away the thing that's bothering me. Which is really cool since it's already gone.
Right.
And I'm just holding it in my mind by thinking about it all the time. Well, all I got to do then is let go of something that only exists in my mind so that I can start having the joy and the abundance and the love that's available to me right now. Okay?
Well, a friend of mine always kept saying to me, you know, don't add, subtract.
Mm.
And now I kind of get it. It's like, don't add anything. What can I do to make it better? I don't have to do anything. If I do something less, it's even better not to do it.
And who are better? Who's better
you know
doing?
What I mean?
Yes,
yeah.
And then who's
I'm
better doing? Who's better than they doing less than us?
No.
I can do less.
I
need a path to ask me to do less. Because I'm good at less.
Mm-hmm.
It's that more that I have a problem. Anybody else feel like me?
Yes.
So this is a path for people who want to do less.
Yes.
Okay, all right. We're clear about that.
Yes.
Okay, this is not the do more clan. This is the do less clan. Okay? We the do less clan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're going to have everything. All right. Let's go to the next paragraph then. And the reason why I'm asking you what you think and what you feel is that's how you remember it when you pull it back out of yourself. That's all. It's just a way for you to remember. All the effects of guilt are here no more.
Wow.
For guilt is over. And I'm going to make it more personal. All the effects of your guilt are not here anymore. Your guilt is over. And since your guilt passed, all the consequences that you thought were going to happen to you as a result of your guilt also left without a cause. So why would you cling to your guilt and memory? Why do you keep thinking about what you're upset about, or thinking about what you feel bad about, or thinking about what you feel weak about, or thinking about what you don't feel enough about? He says, if you didn't desire the result. So the Course says basically that even though all of our guilt is gone and nobody and nothing's really condemning us, why do we still keep thinking about it, except we are the ones who want the effect of the guilt, which is the pain and the fear and the punishment. The only reason why I keep thinking about something that makes me feel bad is I want to feel bad. The only reason I keep thinking about something that makes me feel bad is that I want to feel bad. The only reason why I keep on thinking about something that makes me feel guilty is that I want to feel guilty. I must want the effect if I still keep thinking the thought that gives me the effect, even though whatever it was I'm feeling guilty about is already gone because time took it away, so it's not happening right now. Well, no matter what it was, it's not happening right. What's happening right now is you sitting in the chair listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're clinging to anything, or I'm clinging to anything that makes me feel guilty, fearful, or afraid, it means that I desire the effect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be mad. I want to be depressed. I want to be angry. I want to be sick. I want to be I want it. Why? Because I'm using now to cling to the thoughts in my mind that make me feel that way.
I was cutting that.
Well, get off it.
I know.
But you saw, but see, the fact that we were taught it is really the thing that will free us the most. If you were to really realize that the way you're responding is the way you were taught, you'd see your way out. Everybody would. As soon as you really get that you're responding to the way you were taught, mm-hmm. which is something you learned in the past, and that's making you feel the way you feel right now, then that person would immediately say, I need a new learning, I need a new interpretation. And then the court says, okay, let me give you one. Here it is. All the effects of your guilt are no more. Whatever you think you're feeling guilty about, you're not going to get the result of it. That's a different thought. Is it not? The next different thought is your guilt is over, and so you don't have to worry about a consequence because it's gone. Whatever happened is gone. Now, if you don't want to agree with that, you still want the result.
Yes, but. What? Yes, but.
Okay, give me a good yes, but. Yes, but. Okay, yes, but what? Give me some yes,
really
but what?
I don't really want to feel the effects of that guilt.
I know. When you're using them, but I'm
even inside. What do you say?
I know
you don't what?
I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel depressed. I don't want to feel angry.
Right. And that's the beautiful part about being told the truth. Is because when someone tells you the truth, then the truth comes up in you. Like my saying that the court says that if you still think about it all the time, you must still want the guilt, right. Made you go, I don't really want the guilt. Right. So it actually made you go for your innocence just by telling you that. Mm-hmm. Every time I tell you you're guilty, you'll see, well, I'm not that guilty. Mm-hmm. But if I was sitting up here going, you all are innocent, totally innocent, completely innocent, innocent through and through. There's no part of you that's not innocent. You're totally innocent. You're completely innocent. You're as pure as the driven snow. You've never hurt anybody. You're totally innocent. Now, how many of you, when I say that, are thinking about the things that would not make that true? Anybody got... See, notice that when I said you were innocent, then your guilt came up. When I told you you were guilty, you went, no, I'm not really guilty. And that explains why we think feeling guilty makes us feel good.
Wow. That's a new feeling.
I feel guilty, I get a chance to go, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
The no, I'm not thought comes up.
But it's not that I don't feel guilty. It's not that I desire to feel guilty.
And that's why, and how has that worked for you? I mean, I don't know about you, but I spent most of my life believing I don't desire to feel guilty.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's why I asked her about it. How's that working for you? Okay. But this book is saying, why don't you say, at some level, I must be desiring its effects because I'm still clinging to it in my memory. If I'm still choosing to think about it all the time, there must be some part of me that really wants. See, that's the truth. And then that will take away. That's what he said. Then that'll take away the interference, because the interference to your happiness is you not realizing that you're desiring to go through what you're going through. The interference to your happiness is you not really recognizing that you have thoughts that interfere with your happiness. See, that is the interference. The interference is the idea that something is happening to me that I don't desire. That is the interference. Because then it puts you in a position where it always looks like you don't have any power. You have thoughts that's not producing the result. It'd almost be better to go, I'm having this thought, that's what's producing the result, even if it's a result I don't like, than to say, I have a desire for something and it never happens. See the difference? I have a desire to feel innocent, but it never happens. It would be better for me to say, at some subconscious level, there must be a part of me that really desires to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Because what that's doing is directly connecting me to the power of my thought to create my experience, which empowers me. And then one day I go, you know what? I'm feeling guilty about something that's gone. And by thinking about it all the time, I'm making myself feel this way. So why don't I, instead of focusing on the stuff that make me feel guilty, focus on the thought that my guilt is gone, and with it all the consequences that I could have experienced. I could just as easily focus on the idea my guilt is gone, which is what you did after I told you that you desired to feel guilty. Then you said, no, I'm not. See, then she could go for her innocence thought, but it had to come after the truth. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about the course. The course is an experience of the truth. It's not another intellectual play toy. It's always happening while you're reading it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this is deep. So he says, remembering is a selective, is as selective as perception, because memory is the past tense of perception. Memory is, are we perceiving now? Are we perceiving now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, memory is nothing but perceiving the past. We're perceiving now, but memory, when you say memory, you're never present when you say memory.
Right.
Whenever you say memory, you know you recall in the past and the present.
Yeah.
Right? So he's saying that, and then what you remember, he says, is selective. That when you go to remembering, you're going to select out of all the stuff that's happened to you, you're going to select a memory that most validates the way you feel right now. Right? If I don't want to like Bonnie, I'm going to use my memory to remember, bring back to the present everything she's ever done in the past that I interpreted in a way to make me not like her. I'm going to take my memory and I'm going to use my memory selectively to bring something from the past into the present so I can relive that feeling of not liking Bonnie again. So this is a great statement. He says, so memory is the perception of the past as if the past were occurring right now. Memory is the perception of the past as if the past were occurring right now, and still we're there to see.
Yeah.
I always like to use, that's why I use examples, because it brings it home. Because we do it all the time, but when we read it, it'll seem abstract and we'll go, I don't understand. But the truth is, we do this all day long. We take the present moment, selectively think of something that happened in the past, and then give ourselves the feeling that comes from that memory. Now, y'all know we do that all the time. This is not mystical. We do that all day long. We're doing it right now. We're doing it right now, okay? So the Course says, now, what's the point? Well, the point is, he says, memory, just like perception, is a skill made up by you to take the place of what God gave in your creation. Memory is a skill I made up to take the place of what's happening right now, which is what God gave me, the truth right now. My memory is a skill that I made up to take the place of what's really happening. See, I could just have peace with Bonnie right now, but I got this thing I made up called memory, which gives me the ability to take my perception and not just see us how peaceful we are right now. I'm going to selectively use my memory to go back 3 weeks to what she did, use the way that, think about the way she treated me 3 weeks ago, then give myself the pain of that right now, even though that whole thing is gone.
Better look on that.
That's deep. That is deep. But what do y'all think about that idea that memory is a skill we made up? I always thought that was something that came from God. She says memory is a skill. Memory is a skill.
It's not the same as when he says remember.
Yeah, he says not memory. Remember. But he says to remember. He says that earlier in the paragraph, right? That remembering is selective. That remembering is always selective. I pick what I want to remember, and then I make myself feel based on that memory the way that I feel right now. So, how many people in here, in order to really get this idea down, would care to just take a few seconds to just be with that idea that you know that's true because you know you've done it?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so when I say I remember you, I'm saying I'm going to take my perception, aim it toward the past, selectively remember something that happened between me and you, and then I'm going to experience that all over again. That's why when I saw you after 20 years, I felt so happy. I felt so happy because I went back in the past, I selectively remember something from the past, I brought it up to the present, and now I'm thinking about the good time me and you had, and then I'm making myself feel it right now. But what I'm feeling is an illusion based on something that happened in the past when we could be experiencing the connection and the joy that we could actually be having right now, which isn't a fantasy.
That's really got my head spinning.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Tell me why.
Because what I'm trying to do here is remember.
Uh huh.
Who I am.
Right.
But what I'm trying to do here is not remember who I think I am.
Now, what's the right way to use memory? You don't fight the skill you made up. You just use the skill you made up to remember now. You made up the ability to remember. Now all we have to do is remember the truth. Mm. Remember now. Remember the guilt is over. Remember that we could have peace now. Remember that we could have prosperity and abundance and love now. We could take that skill of memory instead of always focusing on the hurts and pains of what we think was done to us in the past. We could take that skill and we could remember now. Because remembering is neutral. What we screw up is on what we remember.
Right. I was going to say, like, it's almost like automatic.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But why can't you do both? I mean, if you're picking a positive memory that's making you feel good about somebody you haven't seen in 20 years, what's wrong with that leading to you having a positive now experience?
There's nothing about that that's wrong, except that you must remember that you could be experiencing the joy of just being with them now. So it's never anything wrong with remembering the loving thoughts. The Course says that's the one right use of memory, is to use your memory to remember the loving thoughts, because at least the loving thoughts are a reminder of who you are.
Well, and if it's automatic, it's almost like you don't want to spend your whole life fighting something that automatically happens.
Well, you do. You're sorry. You will. Yeah. If the way your mind works is wrong, you do have to take the effort with the Holy Spirit. Except, don't forget, this isn't a doing; it's an undoing. So undoing it is much easier than doing it. So don't think about, oh my God, now I got all this work to do. No, all I have to do is remember the truth now. If I remember the truth now, that's all that's being required of me. There's nothing to fear. My guilt is really gone. I'm just holding on to it in my own mind because at some level I must still want to believe it. I made up my memory, and I can use my memory for anything I want to use my memory for. And right now I'm going to use my memory to remember who I really am, which is love. That's much easier than trying to remember what happened to you when you were 10 years old. That's much easier than trying to hold on to it. And it's more natural, so you'll find that it will become more automatic than what you used to do. And what you used to do is going to become the strain. But there is that transition, there is that commitment, there is that dedication that you must make, that you know that you have to go through the unlearning process. There's no way to get around that, you know. And then, of course, it's all a matter of motivation. You know, it's like everything is a matter of motivation.
Well, and for me, too, mm-hmm. It's like, I can't, because you said at the very beginning, this isn't about doing more, it's about doing less.
Mm-hmm.
So my ego takes what you're saying about working this. Well, that sounds like doing more, see.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the way I have to look at what you were just talking about is that I can make a choice when the memories come up
mm-hmm.
that I don't use them.
Mm-hmm.
And because I remember what this says is I don't have to experience the effects if I don't want to.
Right.
And so that's a lot easier than working at it, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, it's just a decision to remember that I found out I don't have to do that.
And that's why the truth is that's why the path is individual. We take the truth and then we apply it to ourselves individually, the best way that it works for us, but with that purpose in mind. So each one of us will have our own way of working that idea. But I found after 27 years that none of my ways work easier than just doing what he says. So if you say that there's a part of me that believes that I think that I'm guilty, then I'm going to go ahead and go, there's a part of me that thinks that I'm guilty. If he says to me that my memory is just a skill that I made up to take the place of the truth, then I go, you know what, my memories of the past stuff is just a skill I made up. Because when I do that, I've told the truth, I've released myself, I can move on. I don't have to try to think of another way to say what's already been said. If I want to, I'm innocent. But what I found is that it's just easier just to go ahead and admit that he's right. It's like, that's what I found out. All the Spirit was asking me to do was just go, that's right. And that's all. And that's easier than trying to reprogram myself.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's a lot easier than trying to reprogram myself and just go, that's right. Just like he said right here. Like all the things you've made, your memory can be used to serve another purpose, to be the means for something else, which is just what you just got through saying. Then it says, in other words, your memory can be used to heal and not to hurt. Right now you're using your memory to hurt yourself. You can use your memory to heal yourself, which is to undo your fear. Mm-hmm. What's the key part of that last part of the sentence? If you so wish it be. If you want it to be.
be, your memory can be used in a way that helps you. So then we got to pose that question. Do we want our memory to start healing us now?
Yeah.
Sounds real enthusiastic. All right. Okay. That's okay. That's all right. Back to the poet said, prisoners starved and emaciated, beat down in the desert for many years. They don't jump up with joy the minute you give them the water. You know what I'm saying? If I've been out in the desert about 3 months and you bring me, I'd be so thankful, but you won't see me do no jig. And that's where we are. You know, so when we hear the truth, we go, yeah. You know, you know, we talk to people on the desert, you know, okay.
I don't know where that part is.
Yeah, so it's in chapter 18, and I think it's right at the last section called The Two Worlds.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, either it's in the little garden, it's one or the other in chapter 18. But that's what I love, again, that's what I love about this book. It just tells the truth. So, now this is excellent. It's going to blow your mind. Nothing employed for healing represents an effort to do anything at all. Nothing employed for healing. If it's going to be something that you use to heal, it's going to be something that doesn't involve any effort at all. If it's going to help me, it doesn't involve any effort. It doesn't involve any of my effort. If it's going to really heal me, it doesn't involve my effort at all. Now whose ego is screaming bloody murder? Okay, why? Because it's talking about when you're really healing will be the point that you recognize you don't have any needs. And when you recognize you don't have any needs, you know there's nothing for you to do. Do you realize you have no needs right now? No. Well, that's why you feel like you got so much to do. And that's why you need to go ahead and do it until you recognize that you have no needs. Because at the point that you're healing, you won't see that you need any effort because you don't have any needs. And your being will just be providing you with everything you need.
I don't believe it.
There you go. That means we're hearing it. I say this to myself all the time. Anybody who comes to the Course in Miracles and has no reaction to nothing that's being said is not hearing the Course in Miracles. You're either going to like some of it, not like some of it, irritate you, make you feel good, confused. But if you're not having any emotional reaction whatsoever to nothing I'm saying, I don't believe you hearing anything that's being said here today. Because it's too radically different from the way that we're taught not to have any kind of reaction at all when you hear it. Because when you hear it, you'll know it because the part of you that believes in the system that's making you suffer is going to immediately become afraid and defensive. You see what I mean? So I go, I don't believe that. And that's why he says at the very beginning, you need not believe the ideas. Because he already knows if you had to believe it, you'd never hear the curriculum. So your belief isn't even necessary. Yeah, thank God. You don't have to believe this. Nobody's asking you to believe it. It's not like if you believe it or not determines whether or not it's true. You know what I'm saying? What are you fighting against, Earl? I'm fighting against the idea that my guilt is gone and I can experience the consequences and results of my innocence and my healing right now. I'm resisting an idea that tells me that when I'm healing, I'm not having to effort a whole lot and things are coming to me naturally. I'm mad about that. I don't want to hear you tell me that because my whole reality is based upon my doing everything. I'm a control freak. Don't you dare tell me. Are you saying don't go to work Monday? No, I'm saying your guilt is gone. I didn't say nothing about your job. That's your interpretation of what I'm saying. Did you hear me say don't go to your job? No, you heard me say your guilt is gone.
But Spirit told me not to go to work.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's amazing how God's voice sounds like my wishes. God's voice always sounds like my wishes, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I think I really want to do that. I think the Holy Spirit told me to do that. And we all do that. We all know we do. We do that all the time. You know. Every other day. You know. So, what does that mean, doggone it? What does that mean? Nothing employed for healing represents an effort to do anything at all. It's a recognition that I have no needs, which means that something must be done. Well, that means that healing is an unselective memory. In other words, healing is anything that you remember that doesn't interfere with the truth. It's okay if you remember anything you want to remember about your past as long as it don't interfere with the truth of your innocence right now. So you can just have at it. It's an unselected memory, if you want to have one. He says an unselected memory, a memory that's not used to interfere with the truth. Any memories you have that you don't use to keep you from practicing the truth, any memory that you have that doesn't make you not want to believe you deserve to be loved, that memory is an unselected memory because your ego just selects the memories that make you feel guilty. The God in you just get you every memory but a memory that would make you feel guilty. That's why it's unselected. It's like all memories that don't make you feel guilty. All memories that make me feel loved. All memories that make me feel secure. All memories that make me feel the truth about me. That's God's memories. My ego's memories are just the memories I come up with to keep me from believing that I could be happy now. That's the selected memory.
Wow.
Oh, the back of the book is a trip, ain't it? It really is. I know. I know some of y'all might be dying right about now. You can talk to me. It's okay. It's okay. This is the kind of stuff that turn you to stone. It really is. But I really realize tonight, you know, we either got to get deep and go. If I don't get deep and hook the Course in Miracles students, then I'll just always keep going through the exact same cycles of my class that I've always been in my class. You know what I'm saying? It's about recognizing your innocence. Recognizing your innocence is the key to your happiness. And that is a radical concept in a culture that tells you you're guilty and sinful. And the more you admit you're guilty and sinful, the more innocent and saved you are. So what we're saying sounds like blasphemy to our old program self. But I'm at that point in my own spiritual development that I want to go deeper into the truth.
It's funny because it's like, you know, it's called the undoing of fear.
But it's making everybody afraid.
The reaction I feel like, it's like on the Wizard of Oz when they throw the water on the witch and the witch is like, whoa. It's like you're throwing water on the witch of my ego. It's like you're undoing my ego.
Right.
My ego is like, whoa. I want to still keep strong. I want to do effort. You know, I want to remember those fucked up things, and I want to feel guilty.
Anybody else? Anybody else got a part of them that feels like her?
Sure.
You know, I do too. It's a part of me. And what you gonna do?
I'm still gonna do what the truth tells me to do.
There you go. Thank you. That you go ahead and you have all your feelings and all your resistance and all your opposition and all your da 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 da, and then you go ahead and do what it says, which is what? Try to allow my memory to remind me of my beauty, my power, my love, my innocence. That's all it's saying, that you no longer want to have the memory. But we're so doing oriented that, you know, it scared people right out of the room. Because their ego scares them into thinking that they still have to do it on their own. And it sounds like the Course is leaving them defenseless. And so they get scared of the Course. Because then they realize that they don't really believe in nothing but themselves. And until you realize you don't believe in God, and you don't believe in a higher power, you'll never get to that connection with a higher power. And one of the stages of the Course in Miracles is you find out how much you've been bullshitting yourself for years about everything. And that is startling to you when it first happens to you, because so much of your peace is based on an image of yourself that you're all nice and got it together. Or either you want to be nice and you want to get it together. You know what I'm saying? But you're certainly not ready to admit the reason why I'm thinking about all this all the time is that I just want to feel like crap. See, and then he goes on to tell us, he says, But I'm trying to tell you that all things the Holy Spirit can employ for healing have been given him without the content and the purposes for which they've been made. In other words, they are the skills without an application awaiting their use. They have no dedication and no aim. Did we not learn how to interpret and learn how to remember and learn how to select the things to think about? Did we all do that? Okay, well, the Course is now telling us, I want you to see that as now skills that you're going to give to the part of you that's God, the part of you that's that loves you, the part of you that knows your power. You're going to take, you're willing to have all the skills you've developed in every way you developed them, on every level you developed them, to now be used for your peace.
Wow.
That is what he means when he says your memory is now a skill without a use. You know, whatever you've learned to do now, you should walk out of here tonight saying, I'm ready to give that skill a brand new purpose. And I say apply it to everything. I don't care what purpose you function on, whether it's your job, whether it's your hobby, whether it's your spiritual development. You say, you walk out of here tonight and you go, all of my skills, all of my love, everything I like to do, now I'm going to see it as a skill without an application that's waiting to be used. I they don't have a dedication right now. They don't have an aim right now. I'm opening all of my skills up to the Holy Spirit, which is the part of me that knows the truth and the part of me that is love and the part of me that does produce the kind of life that I want to produce.
Oh, that is so exciting.
That's what you do. That's what you do. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. So that means whatever you do, whatever you think your skill is, whatever you think you've learned, you're now going to see it as no longer having the purpose that you used to use it for when it used to be used to make you unhappy.
Yeah. Right.
I'm no longer going to use my skills as a speaker or a teacher to make me feel guilty or to make me feel unhappy or to make me feel afraid. I'm going to use my skills on behalf of love, on behalf of truth, on behalf of me remembering that I'm not guilty and you aren't either. See, that's the same skill. I'm still using my skills to speak, but I could use my skills to speak something to myself that makes me feel like crap, but now I'm going to use my skills as a speaker to remind me of the love that I really am. My skills have a new use, and that's what he's asking you to do too. Declare your skills now have a new use. So it isn't just about I don't go to work on Monday. It's a skill that I'm getting ready to use through the truth in me now instead of the part of me that makes me hate my job. That's how you bring it down to a practical level. Then you can practice it at every level.
Sounds like a lot of work to me, man.
and wouldn't that be the absolute best defense of all? See, that's the best defense for not changing of all, is to tell yourself the thing that's the easiest is the hardest. Because all it said was give it a new purpose. And you can't tell me that it's hard for you to say, I want what I do to now have a brand new purpose. That is not hard. Especially when you don't have to believe it. Can I tell me something you don't have to believe is hard? Why don't I want to do it? Because I desire the effects of the way I've always thought, and the way you're telling me will change me. And I won't be feeling the pain and the punishment and the inconsistency that I've always been experiencing. Well, why am I doing that? Because I'm sitting up here right now and I'm using my memory to remember all the reasons why this couldn't possibly work. Now, remember, it could just as much be going to, oh yeah, you could apply this and that you've learned and that you learned, and you could use that over here and all this study you've done all these years and all these different workshops and different spiritual teachers. You can remember everything you learned and all that could be coming back to you to help you know that you could have complete abundance and prosperity right now.
And that's exactly what my mind's doing. It's distracting.
All right, it's just
telling me you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to create it, and if you want to get rid of the ego or the fear, you have to do that too.
Right, and the fact
that make that happen,
and the fact that you're able to consciously stand outside of your ego and tell me what your ego is doing is the proof that your ego is gone. Because when you're in your ego, you can't get outside of it and describe how it's operating. That's why what I'm saying sounds crazy to a person that's completely in their separate ego mind. That's why the Course will never appeal to everybody. That's why there's so many different paths. There are people that would never get this, and frankly, I hope they never come to my class. Because they would so misperceive what I was saying that it wouldn't be good for nobody.
Well, some of them carry guns.
You know, yeah, I used to have that fear too, that I was going to tell the truth one day and some nut was going to walk in, but you know, I'm too guilty to die. So I ain't worried about that. I ain't getting off that easy. Yeah, that's too quick and pain. No, and I still got some stuff I'm letting go of. I'm not getting off that easy. I got some stuff. It's just what? Another defense against the truth. It's just something else I can tell myself to keep me from practicing what this is saying. Mm-hmm. That's all our defenses. That's all they are. That's just us. That's our plan not to do this, is to let our mind come up with every memory and every learning that would tell us this is hard. That is our resistance. You don't have to wonder what it is. That is it. Mm-hmm. That is it. And so since we're able to sit back and talk about it, that means it is gone. It has no power, and we're just seeing the after image of an old way of thinking that we don't have anymore. And so what we're doing is we're watching the old way we used to think fade away, sometimes coming up unexpectedly, creating crappy events, just mysteriously disappearing, and coming up in another unpredictable way 3 weeks from now. Just because it's like leaves that are twirling away in the wind that happen to light on the ground as it twirls away. That's what your ego is doing. It's twirling. And so sometimes when it twirls, it hits your experience, and all of a sudden you experience something that you used to experience again, and then you go, it's gone, and then you have another period of peace, and the course is working, and then that leaf of the ego, but it's blown away. Your ego, your guilt is gone. You're just still remembering it, and therefore giving yourself the experience of it. But you are innocent now. Mm. Then we'll stop here.
Thank you.
And of course we need each other to remember it, right? Because how often are we going to hear anything like this in the world?
Never.
So if we don't get together and remind ourselves of it, then we forget it. And then we become just like everybody else, lost in the victim consciousness.
Yeah. I see it on Channel 58 once in a while.
So, we're going to do the love offering. Unhappy dream to the happy dream to waking up. You go from the unhappy dream, which is me walking around here thinking that I'm less than happy, and to me walking around here in the dream, and it looks like all I see is my joy and love surrounding me, because it's my perception now. Then I wake up to who I really am. So you don't jump from misery to who your real self. There's an intermediary stage, which is the happy dream, which is not perceiving yourself in lack here and now. It's not about, you don't have to go nowhere else. We can have it right here, right now. So, I'm going to do another advanced mind training the first Saturday in November from 10 to 3. And the purpose of advanced mind training is to do an in-depth study of the course and the practical application of it, because we have more time. Like right now, it's like just when I want to get into it deeper, me, it's time to stop. Because it takes the first 30 or 40 minutes just to get the resistance out enough to even begin to start to hear it. But once you recognize that you even have it. But isn't that interesting, though, how much threat we'll feel about something that's only telling us we are going to do less, and that your guilt is gone, and you don't have to experience the consequences of what you think you've done in the past. But that's, I don't like that. I got a problem with this.
Well, I think to me the hardest part was the part about that there's a part of me that wants those effects. And that was like, to me, that was startling and unsettling and that for me brought the victim to resistance.
Yeah. Anybody else? What was hard about that to you?
Because
because you have to take responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most of this reminded me of how I treat other people.
What do you mean?
That's how I treat myself. It really just, to kind of, I didn't really focus a lot on me. I focused a lot on me, just on the outside. On how I really feel about other people is how I really feel about myself. So I really thought about that a lot during this whole session. It was about how I focus, where I focus, what I focus on. Because all this was about for me was the proper use of the will, which I think was awesome. Those are the things I hang on to. Something practical I can use.
Yes, it's almost like he's continually trying to drive home to us that there's whatever is happening, which is what is, and then there's my interpretation of what is, and that's what's causing my feeling, and I have to use my will to choose a new interpretation of what is. And then that's what, that's going to be hard. He says, no, it's not going to be hard because of God. See, I'm still taking the same attitude, which is, it's something else I've got to do on my own.
Yeah.
See, and that's where we make the mistake. We take the ego attitude toward our spiritual growth. So it goes from, I had to do this on my own, now I've got to do this on my own.
As if I'm capable.
You know, which is what... Right. And that's what's depressing. He says there's nothing more depressing. The Lord says there's nothing more depressing than a curriculum that you can't practice. And so when you hear it all this, it makes the person feel depressed because for the first time they know they're being confronted with something that they can't do on their own. And their whole approach to life is it's me on my own.
Yeah.
And this whole book is saying, aha, you have gone as far as you can go on your own. And that's what you're freaking out about, because up to this point it was about you on your own.
Yes.
But there's a point on the path, if it's the path of relationship and joining, that by the very nature of your goal, you can't do it alone anymore because you're on a journey to unity. You're not on a journey to separation. So how are you going to go on a journey to unity in separation? You know, at some point you're going to have to join. He says, well, join with the part of you that loves you and already knows how to do it for you and through you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You need do nothing but be willing to have a new use of your skills. Let me use the skills you already have. What could be easier than that? Come on now. If I know how to yo-yo, and I'm a good yo-yoer, and you tell me you're going to show me how to use yo-yoing to get me to heaven, and I tell you that's hard, I'm full of crap. It could nothing be easier than using what I already know what to do.
Yeah.
And how to do it. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. I'm going to take your ability to drink water, and I'm going to let that take you all the way to bliss. And I go, that's hard. You already know how to drink water. So there's nothing for you to do. That's right. There's nothing for you to do. You already know how to drink water. That's what it is. It's not more. It's less you're doing now. Uh-huh. And so for me to accept that who I am could actually be used in that way, woo, that's a whole nother lesson for me. Because I'm so used to working from the premise that there's something wrong with me that needs to be fixed. I'm not used to being told there's nothing wrong with me, except I'm using my memory that I made up incorrectly to just remember stuff that keeps me feeling like the crap, afraid all the time. Woo! This is easy. This is a trip. It's like on TV show. It's a mind freak. This is a mind freak. This freaks your mind out. It does, and but isn't that what's cool about it to you all? And that what sets it apart is that it does make you go, you know, then the part of you leave and go, well, why did I call? Why did I come? I feel more confused and disoriented than I did before I came in the door. That means you heard it.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That means you got shaken up. That means you were awakened. That's what's so hard about teaching. It's hard to teach the truth when everybody thinks that you're not getting it unless you feel good. Because that's the old sale. You know, that if you're doing it right, that's right. If you're doing it right, you will always feel good. But you ain't doing it right. And you're certainly not doing it right all the time. So why do you think you're going to feel good all the time? like, oh, right. Right, so it's like it's going to kind of like be a transition, yeah. Well, what about this? What about if you let me pick you up and carry you over? That's what God is telling us. Why don't you let me pick you up and carry you over? Mm-hmm. Well, first I have to admit that there's something to pick me up and carry me over.
Yeah.
And then it won't drop me. Because everybody else has.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? The course is we're afraid of change because our first experience of change was such a doozy. Mm-hmm. We went from bliss, ecstasy, oneness with God and all that is with no pain, sorrow of any kind to I'm looking out for the latest serial killer not to get me on Colfax. Mm-hmm. Except, so of course we feel like change is scary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not using me that people become afraid when they're confronted with the change of mind that the course represents, because it's hard for people to believe that change can be for the better. That it's easy for the mind going to, if I make a change it could get worse, then I'm going to make a change and it's going to be so much better.
Wow.
Because we're only seeing the results of the changes we tried to make on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing the results of the changes that come through our true self.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
And when we do see the changes that's coming through our true self, he says, that's going to be the motivation through rewards. And he says, we're going to learn through rewards now. That's the easiest way for us to get this, is that it gets so good, you won't compromise no more. See, that's the way I feel right now. You know, it's like, I'm not going back to the old thought system. I don't care how attractive it is to everybody else around me. I've had it. I'm not going back to that.
Pays well.
Yeah, I don't care what it is. I'm not going back to that old thought system of Earl on his own by himself, trying to figure out everything and trying to manipulate everything and everybody around him so that he can possibly feel safe. It's like, I'm not going back to that thought system of if everybody else changed around me, then I'll be happy. It's like, I did that too long. I know it doesn't work. And I haven't ever seen anybody that it worked for. So why do I want to do it again? Just because it looks like I'm being presented with something else that I think it may take a little effort on my part to do.
Mm.
I don't care. I don't want that thought system of the bargaining love and the fear, can I trust you? You know, because he didn't tell me I still couldn't be a musician. He just said, what do you want to play music for? You know, he said I couldn't go skiing. He said, what you going to ski for?
Uh-huh.
See, the ego is always telling you, sacrifice, you're going to have to sacrifice something. That's when you know you're lying to yourself. Anytime you tell yourself you got to sacrifice what you love for the truth, you know you can just go, that was my ego, and that's a bald-faced lie.
Uh-huh.
Because the truth would never require that I give up something that I love. That's totally opposite to what the truth teaches. So whenever you tell yourself, they go, oh, that's a lie. Because the truth would never ask me to sacrifice. Only the ego does. Only the illusion does. So we go back out there tonight. Just focus on the thought that your guilt is over. It's gone. And all your skills can now be used for the cool stuff you've always dreamed of within yourself. If we walk out with those two thoughts, we would save ourselves so much pain that you can't even imagine in the future. And that's what I want for you. And I hope y'all have a good sleep tonight. I love y'all. Thank you for daring. Thank you for daring to come in here. Ha 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 ha